We are on Daf Testament base. Okay, where it says Yivama Yavo Leah. That's in the Gemara. Time at the bottom of the page. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 lines down. And there's an asterisk where we're starting. Three words from the end of the line. Yavam Yavala, that's quote from the Pasuk. Yavam, her Yavam, brother-in-law will have relations with her. Zuabia, that refers to the actual relations. V'lochololi isha, he will take her for a wife. Zua Mimer. Now we mentioned yesterday what Mimer is. Mimer is that when you do the actual chuppah and kiddushin on a yavama, instead of going straight to the cohabitation, you first do chuppah and kiddushin. So actually, there's a fundamental machlokas between the Bava and Yerushalmi. I didn't know it was a machlokas. I didn't realize. I was thinking it was a machlokas, but I actually saw the Rosamech says explicitly it's a machlokas. The Yerushalmi holds that Mimer works midaraisa, but it doesn't work fully. Meaning that if you do have a Yavama, you have a sister-in-law, you have to do Yibuman, you do Chup and Kiddushin on her, she's quasi-married to you. The marriage is fully effectuated by then having relations with her. Now you can skip that step of chuppah and kiddushin. You just go directly to bia. You don't have to chuppah and kiddushin. She's a yavama. The chuppah and kiddushin of the first husband, in essence, should be sufficient. So you could skip the chuppah and kiddushin. But if you don't, and you do chuppah and kiddushin, it has a deraisa impact. She's quasi-married. Now, that's not like the Bavli. The Bavli holds Mimer, Chuppah and Kiddushin by Yavama, only works through Rabbanon, not Daraisa at all. It has no Daraisa meaning or impact. It's a Chumrah through Rabbanon that you consider to be quasi-married, but not Daraisa. However, the Yerushalmi holds Daraisa, there are going to be major ramifications for it. And so now for a pasuk, according to the Yerushalmi, from Ulukacha, right? Ulukacha means to take. All Kiddushin in Torah is called Kiyikach. It's called kicha, it's called taking. So it says here, l'kacha, must be that there's kiddushin also by Yibama. Okay? So it says the Gemara again, Yibama Yavoy Lezu Abiyo. L'kacha l'olisha, take her wife, say, Maimer, that's a chup and kiddushin. Yochel k'shem sh'abiyo gomeres bo. Do I say just like Bia completes the process altogether? Right? She's fully married to him. Kachi Mimer Goimer Basil, do I would say this anything about Mimer, Chuppah and Kiddushin should have the same impact? No, Talmud Lomer, because the Pasuk says, V'yibma, says that he has to do Yibum. What's Yibum? Ura is called Parsha, it completes the entire Parsha, Lilkula Yibum. In its entirety, but by Yibum. In other words, the process never finished until you consummate the marriage. Okay? So it's different than a regular marriage. Again, regular marriage, you don't have to consummate in Jewish law the marriage or the marriage take effect. The marriage ceremony suffices. However, by Yibum, you must consummate it. The marriage ceremony does not suffice. Okay? The Bia is everything. Period. Period. Lock, song, and bell. The Mimer is only if it has any impact. Zoi the Rabbana, not the Raisa. Okay. So it says the Gemara. Habia gomeres bo, veina Mimer gomer bo. Bia completes the process. Mimer does not complete the process. If that's the case, Ike ma'wil bo Mimer. So what does Mimer do? What is quasi marriage, which Mimer affects? If it's not full, it's not complete. What does it do? So it says, he says here, Lo'osur l'achim. For the moment he did Mimer, the one brother did Mimer, even if there are other brothers, they're not allowed to now step in and elect to be the Yavams. Because he already began the process. At this point, she reverts vis-a-vis the other brothers to an Eshesach, to the wife of a brother, and they can't take her. Okay? Rabbi Shimon Omer, not true. I don't know what Maimer does, says Rabbi Shimon. But either Maimer Okone or Lokone. Either works completely, it doesn't work at all. He's arguing. Yerushalmi till now is saying Maimer works to me, the rights for sure, and it makes a quasi marriage. He says either, I don't know what it does, but either it's everything or nothing at all. There's no such thing as quasi marriage. So he has a suffix, doesn't know. But it's either everything or nothing. So that's what the book goes out to say. Rabbi Shimon Mer Maimer Okone Lokone. Either works completely or doesn't work at all. Mata Rabbi Shimon, what's large Rabbi Shimon? Yavam O Yavam Aleha. Yavam Shah relations with her. Zuabia. That refers to the Bia, the cohabitation. Ukacha Lo Lisha. And he should take her for a wife. Zah Maimer. That's Maimer. Well, that's the same thing we said till now, but he has his following insight. If Bia completes, Maimer completes, because there's a parallel in the pasuk drawn between Bima, Bia, and Maimer. Oh, that's one way of learning. The other way of learning is, you have a share of relations with her. Not that Likocho is a separate possibility, it is the result of the Bia. No, it's still not only that Bia, Ubala, Ulikocho are two separate things. And therefore there's Bia Doraisa and Maimer Doraisa. And Rabbanan said, Bia Doraisa completes, Maimer begins. Rabbi Shimon is saying, if they're two separate statements, then Bia and Maimer are equivalent. And they both do everything. The other alternative is that Bia is Likocha. Not that the two separate things. Rather, the Bia is Likicha and the Maimer does nothing at all. So we have very basic machlokes. For those who came in late, the Ushalmi holds that if Maimer works Midoraisa, not Midrabanan. Okay, it's machlokes. Rabbanan hold that Maimer works part of the way and Bia completes. And Rabbi Shimon holds, he doesn't know if Maimer exists. There might not be such a thing as Maimer. But if it exists Doraisa, and it does everything. It's on a par with Bia itself. Okay? Says the Gemara further, Rabbi Elizabeth Arach Omer, HaMaimer Koine Kine Gomer Biyavoma. Elizabeth Arach says like Rabbi Shimon, but with certainty. Not that he's not a Rabbi Shimon who's unsure. He's definite. Maimer works all together. Lock, stock, and barrel. My time is Rabbi Lazar. Ben Aruch, what's the larger? Elizabeth Aruch. Because it says, Ukachol Olisha should take her to him as a wife. Hareki Kedusha Isha. It says, Leisha. Isha means a wife. So the Kacha. Taking, meaning Maimer, makes her a wife, right? In and of itself. Makidusha Isha Koine Kinyan Gomer, just like the Kedushim of a woman makes a complete acquisition, Afa Maimer Koine Kinyan Gomer, so to Maimer is a complete Kinyan. Ezui Maimer Vikivama, now I know it's about time we should tell you this, I happen to have told you this before, otherwise it would have been to the dark till now. What is Maimer by Yavama? What does the word mean? So actually, little translation of the word is statement, verbal declaration. But what it means is, I ram a kudashesli b'kesef v'shav v'kesef. Just like regular kedusha, I give the woman a ring. Here I give her a ring and I say, or money, and I say, you're being married to me. Now, bein rabban and bein Rabbi Shimon moide bi, both the rabban and Rabbi Shimon agree, kirabbanon, like rabbanon say, the Tachikonaba Maimar, if according to the assumption that Maimar works, Pasar Bitsara. Once he did Maimar, he could no longer have any relationship with the co-wife. It's divided Maimar to one of two co-wives. Once I did Maimar, that's it. She's the one. I might be quasi-married to her, I might be fully married to her, but I can't have anything to do with the co-wife because I did Maimar to her. Okay?
Similar to, I think, the other brothers are forbidden to her as well.
So it's the same. Right. The catch is like this. If, however, like Rabbi Shimon says, he's in doubt, and Maimer doesn't work, right? Connect the Huta Betzora. If that's the case, he could still marry the co-wife. But remember, Rabbi Shimon's not sure if Maimer works or not. Like Rabbanan, Maimer works halfway. So once he does Maimer one of them, he's free to sure us or the other one. But like Rabbi Shimon's untrue, it depends what side we're looking at. If Maimer works, then if sure he's also to the other one. If Maimer doesn't work, then he's mutter to the other one because he hasn't done anything.
Is the side true about the brothers still being possible?
What?
Can the other brothers still marry her as well?
Well, that'd be, yeah, according to the flip side of Rabbi now. Lefichach, now, therefore, Choletus Lomis Yabemis. She has to do Chalitza and not Yibum. I'm sorry. Yeah, the other sister has got to, the other co-wife, sorry, has got to do chalitza. Why does she have to do chalitza? Because according to Rabbanan, Maimer is not a full Kenyan. So Maimer is not a full Kenyan. So the flip side of that vis-a-vis the other wife is that she's not fully exempted from chalitza or yibum. Right, when I do chalitza or yibum to one co-wife, the other co-wife is now off the hook. But if I did, according to Rabbanan, Maimer to one of the wives, then the other that's not a complete, it's a quasi. So if it's quasi vis-a-vis this co-wife, so the other co-wife is also still in a quasi situation. What do I have to do for her? Chalitza, not Yibum. Okay? Yibum I can't do because I did Maimer. With the letter out without Chalitza I can't do either because I did only Maimer. So therefore I have to give her Chalitza. And that's certainly true according to Rabbi Shimon. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, it's true if the Maimer works, it works well together. And then the other world, the tzarek could just go scot-free. But if it doesn't work, it doesn't work at all. And therefore, the other tzarek must have something happen to her. So, and what do you do? Since it's a suffix, you can't do yibum to her. So what can you do to her? Only chalitza. So both according to Rabbi Shimon, when they're two co-wives, and I did maimer on one, I'm going to have two chalitza on the other. That's not true according to Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch holds definitively that Maimer does everything. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, I did Maimer on one of them. I don't have to do anything to the other one. She just goes scot-free, Lashuk, even without Chalitza. Okay? Says the Gemara further. Rabbi Shimon, Kana Maimer, to the extent that Maimer, if Maimer works, Shtei and Asuros, then they're both forbidden. Now, this is going back to the case in our Mishnah. But the case of our Mishnah was a case of Eishes Sochim Shloyov Olamo, of the brother's wife when they weren't alive at the same time. And let me just refresh your memories about that. Yeah. Here, look. Reuven was married to Rachel. Okay? Levi wasn't born yet. Reuven died. Rachel was taken by Shimon, but only through Maimer. There's no Kiddush, no Yibum. And Shimon had a co-wife, Dina. Now, Levi was born already at that time. At that point, Shimon dies. So now, Levi cannot Mibiyabim Rachel, right? Because Rachel was Eshes Achiv, Reuben's wife, and he wasn't alive when Reuben was alive. But Dina can't go scot-free. Because since Dina is only, it's not a true Tzoras Erva, or not a full Tzoras Erva, because all that was done in Rachel is Maimer. So since we're always on Rachel's Maimer, so she's not a full, they're not fully co-wives. So therefore, Dina requires Chalitza. Right? That's what we just learned. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, Kodam Maimer, Shtein Asuros. According to Rabbi Shimon, if Maimer acquires, right, then they're both Aser, because she becomes a Tzaras Erva, she's a co-wife of an Erva, right? Lo Kodam Maimer. If Maimer doesn't work, if Rachel was not here because Maimer doesn't work at all, according to Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't know if it works or not, so Rishon Asur, then Rachel is forbidden, Vashniya Mutaros. But Shtina would be permitted, right? Since we don't know if Maimer works, so they're both forbidden. If Maimer doesn't work, and it's as if Rachel's not in the parasha, so Dina is permitted, right? But since we don't know, which is the case, according to Rabbi Shimon, therefore Dina must be choletzes v'lo misya bemes. As a chumash, she has to get chalitza.
Since Rachel is a surah to maybe the Maimer shouldn't work at all. Even if it does work, it shouldn't be the last case.
Why? But the Maimer is between her and Shimon. The Maimer is between her and Shimon. Okay? That's why I have to go back to case submission, because the Maimer wasn't too Levi, the Maimer was to Shimon. Okay? So, Manavi Bimin Aronav, if both according. That's the next brief. That's the next halacha. We're getting there. The question was asked whether Zikos Kiknusa or not. According to Rav Shimon. Yeah, they're getting. We're getting. The Or Samech notes that they must be. The questions are connected. Okay, we're going to get there. Actually, not the next halacha. Top of Yud Amud Aleph. Just a couple more lines. Okay. Very, very astute comment. Okay. So if both according to Rabbanan, this scenario and Rabbi Shimon, the scenario is true, right? That you got to do Chalitza and Dina and Rachel is forbidden. So what's the difference between two approaches? So this difference is like this. Bar Ashnia. What happens if you had relations with Dina? He wasn't supposed to. It's a bad boy. But he had relations with Dina, right? So I'll die. Al Daitin Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, it says Bios, but it should be Bias. Bias Erva. It doesn't work. He's not allowed to do that. Because Maimer works, at least to a certain halfway. So therefore, his relationship with Dina is Arias. Right? Kids and moms there. They had kids. There's no get required. Right? Because it didn't work. Right? Now, right, a diamond means no diamond. Yeah, diamond means Maimer, and this triangle means Chalitza. Okay, now there's a line missing here. Both the Shai Torah says Tzro and the Or Samech say there should be a line here. Al Daita the Rabbi Shimon ain't a Bias Erva. Could Rabbi Shimon? It's not necessarily an Erva. Could Rabbi Shimon? If Lady had married Dina, did you and Dina? It's a 50-50 chance that it's okay. Right? Because he doesn't know whether Maimer works or not, Rabbi Shimon. Says if it works all the way. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work at all. So therefore, if Levi was Miyabim Dina, so it's a 50-50 chance. 50% that Maimer does work, and she's an Erva, and it's a Bias Erva. But 50% chance that Maimer does work, and therefore Rachel was never an issue, and therefore Levi can be Miyabim Dina, in which case she would require a get. In which case it would be potentially valid Yibum, and if he did it, a get would be required. And the kid, of course, would be a Safik Mamzer, not a Mamzer Vaday. Because we don't know if this Maimer works or not. Okay? Now, says more further, this is a new issue. Mivnei Sho'osaba Maimer. Here we get to a mayor's question. In our Mishnah, it says the only reason why Dina is potentially forbidden is because Shimon did Maimer to Rachel. What about the fact Haim lo saba Maimer misya bemes? But if Shimon had never actually done Maimer to Rachel, then Dina could be misya bemes to Levi. Why? Vein lo zika ba? At one point in time, Shimon had Zika, had a relationship with Rachel. So if Shimon had a relationship with Rachel, even if he did it through Mimer, why is that not sufficient if you hold, like Rav Meir said, then the Bavli brings down a Daf Yud Chesam and Beis. I saw something bring down. That's Kukos Kiknusa Damya. That it's when there's a state of Zika, then it's as if she's already married to the guy. So then, even if he didn't do Mimer, there already would be an issue of Torah Serva involved, right? The fact that Shimon and Rachel had a relationship with Zika at one point. To put it into Yerushalmi terms, if you hold that Chalitza is a Ptur, then Lichaira Zika is a real state. And if Zika is a real state, so then, if that's the case, there shouldn't, even if there was no Mimer, there should really be a problem that Dino should be forbidden to Levi. Right? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Chagai said, and this argues on the Bavli, or the Bavli is absolutely unsure about this at the very most. I learned it like Rabbi Yaakov Brach is the name Rabbi Elazar, which is the following case. Shomeris Yovam Shemesa Mutar Bima. Let's see the case inside here. There were parents who gave birth to a daughter whose name was Rachel, who gave birth to another daughter whose name was Dina. So Dina is Rachel's daughter. Dina went and married a man. Right? That man died without any kids. Okay? At that point, Dina was supposed to become a Yavama for Shimon, who was Reuven's brother. Then Dina died. At that point, Shimon is allowed to marry Dina's mother, Rachel. Even though it's the mother of the woman who was once his Yavama. So Lichaira, if you hold Zika as Kiknusa, so then it's as if Shimon was married to Dina, and then he would not be allowed to marry Dina's mother. So it must be Zika as Lavka Knusa. The fact that there is some relationship between Shimon and Dina at one point is not eternal. And then, therefore, eventually, if Dina dies, he can marry Rachel. Now, why is that? Says more Zika Isolobah, wasn't there Zika in Dina? Since there's Zika in Dina, so if you're Zika's Kiknusa, that Zika's like marriage, and you should be forbidden to marry for all eternities of Dina's mother. Says the Gemara, Kema Chemesa, but La Zika'sa. When the Yavama dies, the Zika is canceled. Not just that it's canceled, Mikano Lahaba. Not just from here on in, but Lemafreya. The Ushami Shita on Zika is that even if Zika is real, it's only real if it comes to fruition. If one of them drops dead in the middle, either the Yavam or Yavama, then the Zika Lamafreya is undermined and it's as if it never existed. Now again, this doesn't mean the Ushami is kind of illusion that Chalitza is a Kenyan and that Zika is nothing. Right, as we learned possibly earlier. But no, even Chalitza is a Ptur, and Zika is real. But the only Zika which is real is Zika which goes from point A to point B, from death of brother to consummation by other brother. If it stops in the middle for whatever reason, it retroactively is undermined. And that way it's not like a marriage. You know, marriage, when it stopped in the middle, right? Again, a death stops a marriage, but the marriage was real till now. That is not the case with Zika. Zika, when it's undermined retroactively from the beginning. Okay, the Bavli does not agree with this necessarily, as I said. The Bavli might hold Zika, Kukas, Kiknusa, Damya. But that's the sheet of the Ushami. And Rameir Simcha, the Or Sameach, when he brings down this Quran, he answers dozens of kashas based on this Ushami, explaining all sorts of cryptic areas, you know, by saying that, by pointing out this Yisrael in the Ushami, that Zika is retroactively undermined by the death of one of the potential spouses. Okay? So very important Gemara to remember. We don't know how to translate the word. Zika means connection. But it's based on the word zakuk, which means they have requirement on each other. It's like each one is required to have to do something to the other one. Yavam and Yavama, they have the requirement to do something. So it's a quasi-marriage state. To what extent it's quasi-marriage is something which it's been tormenting us already for several days.
So contrary to the philosophy that Maharaj usually has, is it, if you have the potential to do something, it's as if it is...
Which is usually Rabbi Shimon's Svara. Right, it's on there. Right, it's very different than that. That's right.
That's the first time I recall.
Yes. Oh, it's a totally new concept, right? So as far as we're concerned, we Babylonians who've never learned Yerushalmi before, this is a totally new concept that's saying, the only other thing where I know which is like this is a nether. When a chacham is matir a nether, then the nether is undermined retroactively. That's the only similar concept. Well, it's Oshayla, Afora, Torah, which one works retroactively? There's one work, Miafreya, the other works Mikano, Habal, Miafreya, but right. But that's there, there's some similarity in the Dorim. But not here. That's the only thing I can remember like that. Okay, Shnei Achim. Now we go to the next case. Two brothers who may say Achon Mehem. Let's see it outside first. Reuven and Shimon, right? They now this is essentially like the last mission, except with one difference, which is going to be a major one. The one is going to pick up on it. This is also Eishes Achiv Shlo Yobo Lomo. But in the previous Mishnah, the third brother was born after the death of Reuven, but before Shimon took Rachel to be Yavama. In this Mishnah, Levi is born after the death of Reuven and after Shimon already took Dinah. So by took Dina as the Obama. So by the time Levi came on the scene, the Gemara is going to note. You might have thought that it's as if Reuven never existed, because when Levi came on the scene, Dina was already, Misyabemis is Shimon. That's why the Chiddush is going to be that, despite that, since Dina did have a past and was once married to Reuven, even though by the time Levi came on the scene she was already married to Shimon, nevertheless, once Shimon dies, Dina and her co-wife are also to Levi because of Eishes Achiv Shlo Yobo Lomo. Okay? So that's the Chiddush of this Mishnah. And the second one, Shimon married, was Miyavin. And then the brother was born afterwards. So then, and Shimon dies. Rishoni, it's Dina goes out. Because they weren't around the same time. Vashnia, and the second one, Tamar, because Mishum tells us because she's a tzara, a co-wife. Asaba Maimer. Now, this is again the same complexity we had in the previous case. If Shimon, instead of marrying Dina or cohabiting with Dina, had rather only married her, quote unquote, did Maimer, Umeis, and then Shimon died, then Cholesh Shnia, Tamar has to be Choletzes v'lo Misyabemes, like we said in the last Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Miyaber, Shimon says differently, and the Gemara is going to explain Rabbi Shimon what he's going on. He's going to miss this Mishnah or the previous Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Miyaber im le'ezer shi'irtza, Choletze ezer shi'irtza. Yeah, Levi can exercise the right of doing Yimer Chalitza on either one of the two co-wives, and again, we'll have to see what he's going on. Says Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hamaimer o kone o lo kone. I don't understand. Assuming that Rabbi Shimon was going in our Mishnah, it sounds like Rabbi Shimon says that Levi could do either chalitza yivam to either one of these women. How could that be? Rabbi Shimon had just said previously, Hamaimer o kone o lo kone. I don't know if it works or not, said Rabbi Shimon, but if it works all the way. So if that's the case, Atomar Achen, what's the possibility that he could do anything to Dina? Right? If all that Shimon did to Dina is Maimer, so then maybe Dina is still Reuven's wife. Because maybe Maimer doesn't work at all. And if Maimer doesn't work at all, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't know if Maimer works or doesn't work, but if it doesn't work, it doesn't work at all. So then how can he say that he could do Yibum to Dina? Dina is Eishes Achiv Shlo Yobo Lomo. Dina might still be Reuven's wife. Again, assuming this is a diamond. right? Mimer instead of Yibum, right? So it says the Gemara, Umiyami Labal's Mimer, because it's part of the quick question. Can he do Yibum? It's a Dina who was just had Mimer to Shimon. Says Chosh Lamar, and we have to suspect. Zopar question. Shema's word lo missing here. Shema lo kana mimer. Maybe Dina's mimer to Shimon tends to take effect. V'nimtza mischayva leh, and therefore their relations with her is mischayv. Mishu meheshi song shlo yoba lomo. Have relations with the brother's wife who was not alive at the same time, and vice versa. The chotzi lebalas mimer. Is it enough to do chalitza only on Dina? It sounds like chalitza on Dina by itself would work. Who says? The chashla mimer here too. We have to be afraid again. The word lo is missing. Actually, shema lo. Chashma shema lo kona mimer. Maybe the mimer doesn't work. And there the mimer doesn't work. Dina is nothing. It's as if she doesn't exist anymore because she's not. She does not fall different from Shimon. So if that's the case, the only woman in that case who has to be taken into account is Tamar. And therefore the chalitza even has to be done to Tamar, not to Dina. So if that's the case, have a madama Rabbi Shimon. The more has no choice but to glue that which Rabbi Shimon said, that he could do chalitza yibum on either one of them, is going on al reshe, is going on the first Mishnah in the Perek. The first Mishnah in Perek, meaning back here. It's first Mishnah in Perek. On this case over here, Mom and Base. Now, this case. In the case of not the first Mishnah. I'm on the ratio of this Mishnah. I apologize. He's arguing in this case. In this case over here, in the case of our Mishnah's ratio, Rabbi Shimon says, precisely because by the time Levi was born, Dina was already miyubemes to Shimon, so therefore Levi can disregard Reuven. That's a machloket between Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbanan, even though Levi was born after Dina was already married to Shimon, nevertheless, Dina comes with her history of having been married to Reuven, who was not alive at the same time as Levi, and therefore she's forbidden. According to Rabbi Shimon, however, since at the time, by the time Levi came on the scene, Dina was already married to Shimon, so he no longer takes into account her history from beforehand. And therefore, since that is the case, in fact, Levi can do chalitz or yibum to either one of them. So Rabbi Shimon's shita, in essence, is we look at the point at the time when Levi's born. If at the time that Levi's born, so Dina is still in, you know, free fall, and Zika, Shimon hasn't yet bimi abimer, so then she's still considered to be Reuven's wife. And Reuven is not alive, same time as Levi, and she's not Surah. Of course, Rabbanan agree with that. The case in which Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon part ways is this case, where at the time Levi was born, Dina was already living as wife of Shimon. So in that case, according to Rabbanan, still she's got the history of having once been married to Reuven, who was not alive at the same time as Levi. So therefore, they're forbidden to each other. However, according to Rabbi Shimon, since the time Levi was born, she's already living with Shimon as husband and wife, so therefore whatever prior history took place does not concern her, and therefore in essence both of Shimon's wives, both Dina, who once was married to Reuven, and Tamar, who was only married to Shimon, are mutaros to Levi. Right, because Shimon should have been at the beginning of the Mishnah. Exactly. Okay. Now it says about I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Rishona. Rabbi Shimon agrees that if Levi was born prior to Shimon, Levi was born prior to Shimon having married Dina, then Levi would still be usher to Andina. Ashkech Tani, however, we did find a brisa, Odi Machlokas, which says that even the first Mishnah is a Machlokas. All right, but let's leave that brisa alone. Ma'bin Rishonah, but Ma'bin Shtia, assuming Rabbi Yochanan is correct, Rabbi Shimon concedes on the first one and argues on the second one. What's between the first Mishnah and the second Mishnah? Rishonah, in the first Mishnah, Bar Mitzvah Be'isr. When Levi came on the scene, he found Dina still Asura, right? Because Dina was not yet married by Shimon, right? She was still Reuven's wife in free fall, so to speak. Whereas Bashnia, in the second Mishnah, Bar Mitzvah Beheter, when Levi was born, he found her already in a state of being married to Shimon. And that's all he has to take into account. Now, the next Gemara from here to the bottom of the page, the Or Samech makes great changes to. I just let you know that because of truth in advertising, because I'm not going to make the changes. But he makes great changes to it, because as you'll see, there's something wrong with the order. It's obvious there's something wrong with the order, but it's not worth changing the order that to the extent that he does it for our purposes this evening. Rabbi Yochanan asked, based on the concept we have now, how far can we extend it? Could extend it beyond the pale of Yibum. In other words, here you have Yaakov, right? Let's start from here. There was a fellow Moshe. No, we have to start from here. There's a fellow Yaakov who had two wives, Tomer and Dina. And Dina gave birth to Reuven. Okay? Now, there's another fellow, Moshe. Moshe, after Yaakov's death, Yaakov died, married his wife Tamar. I'm not doing this right. One more time. Yaakov had two wives, Tamar and Dina. Yaakov impregnated Dina and then promptly died. Okay? Did his job, he died. Now, after Yaakov's death, Dina gave birth to Reuven. By that time, Tamar, who had been Yaakov's wife, went and married another guy, Moshe. Then Moshe dies. Can Reuven marry Tamar? Were Reuven to have been born prior to Tamar having married Moshe, of course he wouldn't be allowed to marry Tamar. Right? Because Tamar is his father's wife. But since before he was born, by the time he was born, Tamar is already married to Moshe, another guy, does that take off the onus of father's wife? Well, it's based on Rabbi Shimon's principle that we look at it as it is when he's born. What about in this case? Can the arias of father's wife also be taken off by the fact he's married to somebody else at the time? That's Rabbi Yochanan's question. So it says, when Rabbi Yochanan, by Eishav Yishmatz Ibn Echom Eshuk, you already found your father's wife married somebody else. Mama, Bar Yishim, what did Yishim say about this? Ibn Eishav Yishmatz Ibn Muteres? Is it because you find the Muteres in Muteres? Says more, no. Lo, I'm Rabbi Yishim, El Al Yidei Achim Min Ahav. Yishim only says it by Yibu. Why? Because Yibu works. The whole concept of Yibu takes off Eishav Achim, right? So Yibu has that koyach. But no other. We don't say that by any other type of forbidden relationship. Nevertheless, the work continues to ask questions along this vein. Rabbi Yaakov Baracho, I'm Rabbi Shimon Lakish Pai. Yaakov Baracho said, Rabbi Shimon Lakish has a question. Eishes Achiv Meimo, that's why it's out of order, because the question should have all come before the answer. Eishes Achiv Meimo, your brother's wife, but not your brother to your father, in which case there's Yibu. But your brother through your mother, right? In which case, there's no Yibum. So your brother's wife through your mother, who's forbidden to you. But by the time you came on the scene, Shemutzli v'neichem v'neshuk, she married somebody else, a third guy. You were born only at that point. Ma'amar b'Rav Shimon, what does Rav Shimon say? Does she become, mivnei shemutzli b'heter muteres? Is she because she found her in a state of heter, she permissible? No, Lo Amar Rav Shimon Alayde Achim Min Ahav. Rav Shimon only said, in brothers from the father, because brothers from the father, we have the heter of Yibum. So that means that we have other term as well, but not in this case. So I'm not sure you got the case explicitly, but here it is, in a case where Moshe and Aaron, is this the case? Yeah, Rachel had two sons, Naphtali and Nachshon. Naphtali was Moshe's kid, right? But Nachshon was another person's kid, right? Now, so therefore, Nachshon's wife Rivka should be also to Naphtali, because it's his brother's wife. It's true they're brothers from the mother, but that's also brothers, right? However, Naphtali was not born at the time that Nachshon was alive. He was born only later. And by the time Naphtali was born, Rivka, who was his sister-in-law before he was born, was married to Aaron, some guy from the marketplace. That's the question. In this case, could I say that the fact that when Naphtali is born, Rivka is already no longer his sister-in-law or ex-sister-in-law, is married to somebody else, does that make Rivka Muteres? The answer is no, it does not. Again, that only happens in Ibum's situation. Rabbi Yudin asked for another question on the same vein. Tzoras Achos Imo, the co-wife of your... That's a good point. See, I don't know enough about Bavli Yevamos to answer your question. What he's asking is that in the Bavli Yevamos, a lot of the first paragraph is taken up by this, that is applicable in any way, shape, or form by Yibum, then the Yushami is ignoring it because it doesn't know about Seido Chalosa, say or not. I don't know. This winter, when we come to Yevamos and the Bavli, we'll have to come up, we'll have to consider that question. Okay? I don't know. As I say, I don't know enough about it in order to answer it with any degree of knowledge. It would be sheer speculation on my part. Okay? So I don't want to answer it. Rabbi Yudin asked, Tzoras Achos Imo, same idea. You have the co-wife of your mother's sister, meaning your aunt's co-wife. Shabbat is forbidden to you. Shematim Ne'echa Min Hashuk, that he found in front of somebody from the marketplace, Mineshim Matzah Be'etim Muteres, because he found it, it's found in a state of Hatter Shimutzah. Here's the case. Can we just skip it? Okay. Rabbi Avin's case is a very easy case. Rabbi Avin Boy, turning the page. Grusha Shanasis Amona. This is an interesting question with which to end off with. We know Gora doesn't even bother answering it. But you have a Kohen is forbidden to marry a divorcee. What if by the... So there was a divorcee who was divorced before this Kohen was born. Then, but this divorcee before Kohen X was born already married somebody else. And from this second husband, who she was married to at the time Kohen X was born, she became widowed, not divorced. So now, can Kohen X, when he grows up, marry her? Because vis-a-vis him, she's only a widow, not a divorcee. And the answer is, no. Says Mara, period. New sugya. Atamar Ma'ad Amar Rabbi Shimon al Rosha. You said that which Rabbi Shimon is saying is going on the beginning of that which Rabbi Shimon says that you can do chalitim on either one. It's going on the resha where there was a full marriage, right? Not Maimer. Full marriage. In this case, since we don't look at Reuven, so Levi can marry either Dina or Tamar. But what about the case where Takadina? Well, only did Maimer to Shimon, right? Maimer, Shimon Baal's Maimer. What did Shimon say if all that would happen here is Maimer? Nishmina min ado. Let's hear it from here. Rabbi Shimon Omer, this is a quote. This is a brayser. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, "Biyasim chalitza show achatz man poteres chalitza poteres chatzarasa." Normally, the bia chalitza, one of two co-wives, exempts the co-wife. But im chalatz the balas a mimer. But if one of the co-wives was a mimer wife, Avashniya Tzir Chalitza, that's not sufficient. The second one also says requires Chalitza. Atamar Biyasa Chalitza's main poter Sarasa. You said that the BR Chalitza, one of them, exempts the co-wife, Manashach. So here, no matter which way you look at it, Kana Mimer, if Mimer is a valid Kenyan, Shteim Noshach. They're both his wives. So Nikta V'Chalitza's Chaverta. In that case, the Chalitza of the co-wife suffices, because Chalitza, one of them, suffices. Lo Kana Mimer. What if Mimer doesn't work? Because that's Rabbi Shimon's other side, that Mimer doesn't work at all. So then, Enri Shrena Tzirka Chalitza. So then, of course, theoretically, without the case, so Dino, who only had Mimer, would not require Chalitza. Im Chalitza the bias of Mimer, if however you did Chalitza to her, since of course she may not be married at all to Shimon, so then, Afashniya Tzirka Chalitza, Tamar does require Chalitza, Shema lo kana Mimer, because maybe the Mimer doesn't work at all. Says the Gemara, V'lo Nogaba Chalitza. The dad is in the wrong place. Shavu'ot Kor Maimer v'lo Nogah b'Chalitza. Maybe the Maimer that didn't work, and then Chalitza is null and void. Chalitza Viv was null and void because he died to Chalitza Viv to a woman who was never married to your brother, right? And Shema Kor Maimer, or maybe the other Maimer does work. V'niftar b'Chalitza's Chaverta, in which case Chalitza on her friend works. Now, Ma Nafi Mi Beneu. Well, according to, so it comes out, the upshot of that is that both according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan, you gotta do Chalitza for if you did Chalitza on Tamar, then that works for both of them. Remember, it's Levi. If Levi did Chalitza on Tamar, that works for both of them, right? If Levi did Chalitza only on Dina, it doesn't work. You have to do Chalitza on Tamar as well. Okay? She's a Baal Mimer. Dina is a Baal Mimer. So Chalitza Tzur doesn't necessarily work for Tamar. According to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't work because there's a tzad that doesn't work at all. Might work, might not work. According to Rabbanan, it works part way, which is not sufficient, because remember, Rabbanan Mimer is quasi. So therefore, the other woman requires Chalitza because quasi, since she's only quasi married, her Chalitza only quasi works, and that's why you need a Chalitza on the other one as well. Okay, so again, so what's the practical differences between them, two of them? What's the difference between two of them in practicality? So the difference between two of them in practicality is this case over here. It's the same case, just drawn out to explain. Reuven is married to Dina. Levi's not alive at the time. Reuven died, right? Shimon now did Mimer to Dina, and he had another co-wife, Tamar. Now, then Shimon dies, right? Now, Levi does Chalitza. What if Levi then did Chalitza to Dina, but married Tamar? He did Yibum to Tamar, and they had a kid, Yehuda. So now, he did Chalitza to Dina, but she had relations with Tamar. Al daiti the Rabbana, coin Rabbana, this bia with Tamar is bia serva. This is absolutely forbidden. Why? Because Mimer is a Kenyan, right? And therefore Tamar was at least partially a Tzara serva. And therefore Tamar is an Ashes Achiv. And therefore, to have relations, Tamar is a bia serva, Yehuda the kid is a mamzer. Right? No ifs and buts about it. Al daiti the Rabbi Shimon, though, ain't a B.S. Serva. According to Rabbi Shimon, it might not be a B.S. Serva. Because he doesn't know. There's one side, according to him, that the Mimer doesn't work at all. And then Radina's as if she's not in the picture. So Tamar's relationship with Levi would then be a legitimate Yibum relationship. In which case, Yehuda would be a legitimate kid. On the other hand, maybe not. So it's only a suffix mom's there, and it's a potentially valid Yibum. According to Rabbi Shimon, ain't a B.S. Serva. Right? Now, another possibility, Baal Rishonah Baal Ashniya. There's a second possibility. Same idea. Reuven had a wife, Dina. Reuven died. Dina had Mimer to Shimon. And then Shimon had another wife, Tamar. Then Levi is a big Baal Taiva. He did Yibum on both of them. They had relations with both. Which, of course, is also, right? But, I'll die to the Rabbana, Koyin Rabbana, Tapirafam Rav, Rishonah Bia Serva. The relationship with Dina was absolutely, is B.S. Erva for sure, right? No doubt about that, right? Because Dina was, he was their old mimer, works the Raisa halfway, but it works. And therefore, one second. Okay, it's a little bit more complex. This B.S. Erva, Dino's B.S. Erva for sure. The problem is that Tamar is a question mark, the second wife, because Tamar, look, Maimer is quasi. It's not full, right? So Levi is for sure also on Dina. Because they hold that Eishes Sachi v'Shaloya b'Olamo even applies where there's past history. Remember, Rabbi Shimon holds it doesn't apply to past history, right? But Rabbanan holds it does. So then if Dina is for sure also to Levi, no doubt about that. But what about Tamar? Tamar was only a quasi Tzoras Erva, not a full Tzoras Erva. Since she's only a quasi Tzoras Erva, not full Tzoras Erva, so therefore, she requires both chalitza and a get in this case. Because she was like schizophrenic. She was like part Tzoras Erva and part not Tzoras Erva. So on the side that she's part Tzoras Erva, of course she's forbidden to remain married there. But the part she's not Tzoras Erva, so then she required a chalitza because she wasn't fully a Tzoras Erva. And now, since she wasn't a full Tzoras Erva, maybe the evil takes effect. So now, now is the chalitza, she also needs a get. Okay, as it says here. A daughter of Rishon to be a serva. Dina's for sure also because she's still Eishes Ruvin. But because of Tamar's state of quasi Tzoras Erva, to cover all bases, she requires a get and a chalitza. I'll die to the Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, stay on Tzvichos get. They both need a get. Why do they both need a get? Because remember, Rabbi Shimon doesn't look at past history. So if this mimer was valid, right, if the mimer was valid, then in fact, then Levi was legitimate in having been Miabim Dina, and therefore she requires a get, right? If, on the other hand, mimer was invalid, and therefore Dina was as if she shouldn't be there, and this is Yibum was improper, but then Tamar's relationship is proper. And Tamar's Yibum was a good Yibum. So she requires a get as well. Okay? So it's a fascinating thing. That's as Gemara says. Adai Rabbi Shimon Shneitzel's get. Harishon Tzricha get, the person requires get, Shemakar B'maimer. Because maybe she was legitimate prey for Levi because we don't take past history into account. She was married to the Shira time Levi came on the scene, and everything was good. She requires a get. Vashnia Tzricha get, the second one requires a get, Shemakana Yibum. Because maybe the Yibum worked, maybe the Yibum worked on her, because Shema lo kana mimer. There's a word lo missing. Because maybe the mimer and Dina didn't work, in which case Dina was out of the picture. And therefore, the Yibum atomer was legitimate. And therefore, she requires a get as well. Nifteres. However, she's exempt. It should be mei chalitza b'bias chaverta. Chalitza she doesn't require, though. Why did she require chalitza? Because she... What? Right, but even if the Yibum's no good, so she was exempt because of the Yibum of her co-wife. Because on the side that her Yibum is not good, the Yibum of the co-wife was good. Right? One of the two Yibums is good, but not both. Right? So if her Yibum was good, she requires a get. If her Yibum was not good, that means the Yibum of the second one was good, in which case She doesn't require chalitza because the evil of the second one worked. It all depends on the relationship between whether Maimer is valid or not. Okay? Rabbi Zira B'Shem Rav Sheshit said, Tani Tamo, we learned over there, Divi Rabbi Shimon Shtein Asuros. According to Rabbi Shimon, they're both Asur. In other words, both Tamar and Dina are forbidden. We learned that Tamar and Dina cannot, are forbidden to Levi, right? She can't do anything with them. The Kasha, it's difficult. Kana Maimer Shtein Mutaros. You said if Maimer works, they both might be Mutar.
One second.
I made a mistake. Sorry. Rabbi Zira, let me just go one line back. Rabbi Zira Shimon Shesh says, Taita and Lot over there, Divi Rabbi Shimon Shtein Asuros. According to Rabbi Shimon, they're both Asur. Right? If he did Maimer to one of them, and then the brother was born afterwards, they're both Asur, right? In this case, Levi's really not allowed to marry either one of them, right? So if that's the case, the Kasha, I have difficult. Kana Maimer, Shtein Mutaros. If Maimer works, they should both be Mutar. Why are they both Asur? If Maimer works, they should both be Mutar. They both be potentially valid for him. Right? So says the Gemara, no. Lo kani Maimer, Ella. I am sure. You know what? I'm drawing a blank on this. I don't remember what it means. We'll leave it for tomorrow night. We'll start again for every zero tomorrow night. It's going to. Yeah, I'm just drawing a blank, and last minute, I always can't figure. Usually can't extricate myself.